Well, good morning, everyone here in the auditorium at Church in the Marketplace, and hi if you're watching up in the gallery, and if you're joining us online, then g'day to you. We pray that God will bless you as you listen in with us today. Last week, we started a new series looking at Daniel's life, but since it's Mother's Day here in Australia, I want to slip back into our previous series where we talked about mercy. And just for today, look at how we show mercy in our families and in our homes. The sad fact is that sometimes the hardest place to show mercy is at home and with the people we live with all the time. In fact, we're often harder on ourselves and on our spouses and harder on our children than we are with total strangers. And I have to say, it bothers me that sometimes we say the most ungracious things to those that we love the most. I don't know if that bothers anybody else. Does it bother you that you could be the angriest or even the meanest to the people in your life that you love the most? So maybe we can identify with David, who said, "Lord, I want to live a blameless life, but how I need your help, Lord, especially in my own home where I long to act as I should." So as we prepare to think about that, let's pray. Lord, you create us and you make us for relationships. And those relationships teach us how to love you. Those relationships prepare us for the kingdom of heaven. As we think about the relationships that we have in our homes, Lord, please help us this morning just to grow more in the likeness of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, I may think I'm a very loving person, and love and mercy go together. The miracle of mercy is also the miracle of love. You may think you're a great lover. You're just so full of love. You're a very loving person. So this morning, I want you to try this quick quiz. How merciful, how loving are you within your family? How about this? When my spouse or my sibling or another family member gets some detail wrong while telling a story, do I interrupt them and correct them publicly, or I say nothing and let it go knowing that I've done the same? No, you can't cheat on this. God is watching. A or B. And let's admit it. Often we're interrupting and correcting people publicly. Sorry. Here we go. How about this one? When my spouse or sibling or another family member keeps making the same mistake over and over and over, do I become irritated and angry at them, or do I graciously forgive them and pray for them? How you doing so far? I can just feel the humility rising. It's just great. When my spouse or sibling, that's your brother or your sister or another family member, is getting more attention than I think they deserve, do I feel resentful and feel the need to bring them down a notch or two, or do I celebrate with them? Number four, when my spouse or siblings or another family member says or does something that I don't understand, I see what they did, but I don't know why they did it, do I assume they have the best motivation for doing it, or do I question their motivation and think the worst? Here's the last question. Am I more polite with strangers or with my own family? See, we defined mercy as love in action. So mercy is not a feeling. It's not an emotion, it's a behaviour, it's a decision, it's something we choose to do, we choose to be merciful. And if mercy is love in action, then whatever is true about love is also true about mercy. That helps us out a lot because the Bible has a very famous chapter called 1 Corinthians 13, and the whole chapter defines the meaning of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it gives us 15 characteristics of love. And if it's true of love, those same characteristics are true of mercy. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, God gives us 15 characteristics. And unless we're doing these things, then we don't really love somebody. Love is patient. So when I'm being impatient, I'm being unloving. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful or proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. It's not me first. I think I've said before, today a lot of love songs on the radio, they're not love songs, they're lust songs. Love is about giving. Lust is about getting. So when you hear a song that says, give it to me, give it to me, if you don't give it, I'm going to take it, that's not love, that's lust. Love can always wait to give. Lust can never wait to get. If it's all about you, you know the word, you make me feel brand new. You make me feel like a natural woman. You make me. That's not love. That's about me. Love isn't self-centered. Love is focusing on the other person. When we say, I love you because of the way you make me feel, that's not love. That's selfishness. It's I love you if, or I love you because. Love is, I love you, full stop. I love you no matter what. Corinthians says, love is not irritable or easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices with the truth. Love is always supportive. Love always trusts. It's always hopeful. Love always perseveres and love never gives up. Love never fails. It never ends. 15 characteristics of love. Now, I have to say, I was tempted to do a message on all 15 characteristics. But then I asked Jan, who is a very wise woman. I said, honey, what should this Mother's Day message be? And she said it should be short because they're all going out to lunch. Very wise woman, that Jan. Right? Tell her that one day. So we're only going to look at four of these marks of love today, four ways to show mercy to our family members in our home. Here's number one. By overlooking irritations and offences. In other words, by ignoring, not even paying attention to them. I mean, we're going to have irritations in daily life. Nobody has good days every day. Many families and marriages are buried with lots of little digs and irritations and offences. 1 Corinthians says, love is not irritable or easily angered. Anger, I think, is the most misunderstood human emotion and the most mismanaged of all the emotions. Anger isn't necessarily a sin. Sometimes anger is the only appropriate response. There are some things we ought to get angry about. Anger can't be a sin because God gets angry. God sees people getting hurt on earth and he gets angry about it. The only reason we have anger is because we're made in God's image. But there's a good kind of anger and there's a bad kind of anger. There's a righteous kind of anger and there's an unrighteous. There's an unselfish kind of anger that's based in love. And there's a selfish kind of anger that's based in pride. It's not the anger that's wrong. It's why we're angry and how long we stay angry. Long anger turns into resentment and turns into bitterness, and that's always a sin. But anger itself is a God-given capacity. When we see racial prejudice and bigotry in the world, we ought to get angry. When we see injustice and unfairness in the world, we ought to get angry. When we hear about women being raped and children being abused, we ought to get angry. When we hear about Christians being beheaded by radical people in other parts of the world, we ought to get angry. In fact, if we don't get angry, we're not a human being. Anger is a part of human life and some things are worth getting angry about. We get angry out of love. If you hurt my wife or my children or my grandchildren, I will get angry. Anger is a God-given capacity, but we've got to learn how to use it and how to control it. The real problem is a lot of us think we don't get angry because what we're doing is stuffing the anger feelings down inside of us. But that's just as inappropriate as expressing it incorrectly. There are two wrong ways to get angry. One is to blow up, Mount Vesuvius style. The other one is to clam up and stuff it inside. Both of them are inappropriate responses to anger. Neither one is correct. You're either mute and you hold it in, or you're a maniac and you let it out. Somebody said we're either a skunk or we're a turtle. You think where that's going? Skunks, when they get upset, they let everybody know about it. When a skunk gets angry, everybody knows they're angry because it smells. Turtles, when they get angry, they pull into their shell. Now, here's an interesting thing. Skunks often marry turtles. So in a marriage, one of you blows up and one of you clams up. And neither is the righteous one, and neither is more sinful than the other one. They're just both inappropriate ways of dealing with anger. Love is not irritable or easily angered. The Bible's very specific about the cost of uncontrolled anger. The Bible says in Proverbs it causes arguments. The Bible says it causes mistakes. The Bible says that uncontrolled anger causes foolish things to happen in our lives. And what's the antidote to harmful anger in our marriage and in our family? Love and mercy. The more we feel God's love and the more we feel God's mercy, the more we're going to show God's love and the more we're going to show God's mercy to other people. Proverbs 17:9 says, love forgets mistakes. So when we hold on to a mistake and we keep remembering it over and over, that's not loving. Nagging about them separates even close friends. Proverbs 19:11 says, it is to your glory to overlook an offense. To your glory. It's to our credit. It shows our maturity if we can overlook offences. People who get offended are often immature. People who don't get offended at everything and they overlook irritations and overlook offences, that's a mark of some emotional maturity. If we're always getting our feelings hurt, in some sense we need to grow up about that. It doesn't mean the feelings aren't legitimate. Maybe the feelings did hurt. But we need to learn how to overlook an offence or we're going to be unhappy all of our life. When I get irritated, when I get offended, when somebody says something mean about me, if I start to get upset, here are three questions I want to ask. Number one, why am I angry? Number two, what do we really want out of this? Number three, how can we get it? And we will never get it by clamming up or by blowing up. We're never going to get what we want in our marriage. We're never going to get what we want in our family, in our relationships with friends, with anybody else, if we use the blow-up or the clam-up alternative. Love is not easily angered. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. There's a turtle again. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Here's the second way we can show mercy in our family. By being kind when people need it. Somebody said every family has VDPs. So when I talk about family, I'm not just talking about mum and dad, the nuclear family. I'm talking about brothers and sisters and mums and dads and aunts and uncles. And everybody has an extended family. And in that extended family, we have some VDPs and they're very draining people. Don't look at them now. Don't do that. There are difficult people, and difficult people are hard to work with. There are people who are irresponsible, immature, demanding, pushy, self-centered. They always want everything their way. They're aggressive, they're rude. Difficult people, demanding people. There are destructive people, people who are abusive in relationships and they hurt everybody and they're manipulative. And there are disappointing people, people who break their promise. They'll tell you they're going to do something and they don't. Sometimes they're disloyal. And you can't depend on them. They're disappointing. How do we deal with those kinds of people? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, love is patient. Love is kind. And love is always supportive. Am I always supportive of people whether they deserve it or not? You say, how can I be more patient? How can I be more kind? How can I be more supportive? Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's, woman's wisdom gives them patience. If we want to be patient with anybody, we need to learn what makes them tick. Because if we understand their fears, we're going to be more patient with them. If we understand their hurts, we're going to be more patient with them. Somebody said, hurt people hurt people. Anytime somebody's hurting, it's because they're hurting. We don't just automatically hurt other people. We hurt people when we're hurting. Other people hurt us when they're hurting. And if we understand their hurt, we're going to be a lot more patient with them. And we can look past their anger and we can look past their fear. and we can look at the pain and we can cut them some slack. When we look at people, we typically look at how far they've got to go instead of looking at how far they've come. And if we knew, if we'd been in their circumstances, I'd probably be messed up too. If I'd had that situation growing up, I'd probably be full of pain too. I'd probably be more insecure. When we have wisdom, when we understand why people do what they do, we can be more patient with them. That wisdom gives us patience. Proverbs 3 says, whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. It doesn't say do good to people who deserve help. There are a lot of people in our lives, particularly in our family, they don't always deserve our kindness. They haven't been kind to us. But we give them what they need, not what they deserve. Which, by the way, is what God does with us. God doesn't give us what we deserve. God gives us what we need. And that's called mercy. And when we're being merciful, we give kindness to people when they need kindness, even if they've been rude to us, even though they've been mean. They've come home, they've had a really tough day, they start taking it out on us. Our response is to start defending ourselves instead of thinking they've had a tough day. I'm just going to be kind to them. They don't deserve it because they were just rude to me. I didn't cause their bad day, but they had a bad day, they're taking it out on me, and I'm going to be kind to them anyway. You know the story of the Good Samaritan. If we were driving down the road and we see somebody on the side of the road,